Welcome to the Skokie Colo Podcast. Here you can listen to recent shiurim given by members of the Colo and special guests who spoke at the Colo. For older shiurim, open the Learn tab above and select Audio Archive.
Hello, my name is Dovi Turkeltaub and I'd like to share with you a Devar Torah on Parshas Re'eh. The Parsha starts off, Re'eh Anoichi Noisi Lefneichem Ayoim. See, I present for you today Brocha uklola, a blessing and a curse. Esa brocha, the blessing. Asher tishmu el mitzvahs Hashem elekechem, that you should listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Asher anoichi mitzav eschem ayoim, that I have commanded you today. V'haklola, and the curse. If lo yisishmu el mitzvahs Hashem elekechem, if you don't listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. The question is, when the pasuk refers to the curses, it makes it conditionally. The curse will come upon you im lo yisishmu, if you don't listen to Hashem. But regarding the blessings, it says esa brocha, the brochas are asher that tishmu, that you will listen. It seems like the words of the pasuk should be im tishmu, if you listen, then you will receive blessings. So what is the pasuk meaning when it says im tishmu, that you shall listen? Another question. We know the rule is, the Gemara tells us, Schar mitzvah b'hai al maleika. There is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. Ki Yaakov bocha lo yichelke l'olam haba. Yaakov chose his portion in olam haba. So how can it be that we will get a blessing for doing the mitzvahs of Hashem? In this world we don't get any reward. Reward is for olam haba. In the famous pasuk that we say in the month of El, David HaMelech says to Hashem, Achas sho'alti meis Hashem, one thing I've asked from you, Oysa vakish, and that I request of you, shifti beveis Hashem. I want to sit and dwell in the house of Hashem. Now, David HaMelech said, Achas sho'alti, I asked you one thing. We find many places where David made many requests from Hashem. So what is the meaning of the pasuk, Achas sho'alti meis Hashem, that only one thing I've requested from you? The answer is, that of course David HaMelech asked for many requests. But all the requests that he made, whether materialistically or spiritually, revolved around that one thing, revolved around Shifti Beveis Hashem. Everything that I need is in order, Shifti Beveis Hashem, in order to be able to sit in the house of Hashem and do the Torah and Mitzvahs. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. The Pasuk is not referring to the schar that a person will get for when he fulfills the mitzvahs. That im tishmu, the schar that you'll get rewarded in olam haba. But the pasuk is telling us something else. Es habrochos asher tishmu, the brochos that you need to help you listen to Hashem, that you will receive. Meaning the reward that you'll get, you can't, there's no amount of reward in this world that you can receive for doing a mitzvah. But one thing you could request from Hashem, give me that brocha that will give me the ability to serve Hashem. And that's what the pasuk is telling you. Es habrocha asher tishmu, that brocha that gives me that ability to listen, that I'm able to request from Hashem. And that's what the pasuk is telling us. Es habrocha asher tishmu al mitzvahs Hashem lekeichem. So let's realize that the biggest brocha that we can receive is that whatever brocha we do receive will bring us Asher tishmu el mitzvahs Hashem lekeichem, will bring us that ability to be able to listen and to be able to adhere to the words and the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a great, wonderful Shabbos.
Shalom Aleichem everyone. This is Eric Goldman and it is my honor and pleasure to share with you words of Torah for Parshas Re'eh. The first number of words in Parshas Re'eh are some of the most widely written about words throughout the entire Torah. In the Sefer Machshava, the Sefer Chasidus, every word in this pasuk seems to be jumped on. Re'eh, to see, written in singular. Why use that word of Re'eh? Why write it in singular? Anochi, why does Hashem refer to himself as Anochi over here, instead of saying Ani? No saying, almost connoting a context of in present tense, I am giving you right now. And then back to plural tense, lifneichem, in front of all of you. This back and forth, re'eh in singular, lifneichem in plural. but it's really the next word that I want to focus. Rei anochi nosein lifneichem hayom. It's an extra word. Hashem does not need to say it. The pasuk could have simply said, Rei anochi nosein lifneichem bracha uklala. I'm giving you before you a bracha and a klala. Why add that word in hayom? That see, I'm placing before you today a bracha and a klala. Of course it's today. This is what Hashem is talking to us. Sefer Machshava point out that it's the hayom of our lives, of every single day that we are living. Rei anochi nosein lifneichem, to all of us, to every single Jew for the rest of time, hayom. We have to view the day that we are living in as the day that Hashem is presenting us with a whole new set of choices. Are we going to follow the brachas, or are we going to trap ourselves and go after the klalas? That we cannot just focus on what we did yesterday and what we accomplished last week, but rather today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an entire new day. Mechadesh b'chol yom tamid. Every single day HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews the world, and we wake up in the morning and we have to think to ourselves, what does Hashem want from me today? Rei anochi nosein lifneichem hayom. Today has its own mission and its own goals that I need to accomplish. Yesterday's accomplishments were amazing, they were tremendous. But today, I have to push further. I have to accomplish more because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this day, and it must be that there's something special that He wants from me today. It's a whole new set of challenges, it's a whole new level of a test that I have to push myself to be successful in. And this is why actually Halacha Lamaisa, when it comes to being Koveya Itim, that we know every single morning and every single night, we have to have a minimum amount of learning, at the very least, that we do every single day. Of course, Klamar Ba'ariz and Meshubach, the more we learn, the better it is, of course. But at bare minimum, we must learn a little bit every morning and a little bit every night. And the Gemara says, what happens if I don't learn in the morning? Do I lose out on my opportunity? The Gemara says, well, as long as you learn that night and you double up, you make up for it, that's okay. But that's it. If you miss the opportunity at night, you cannot make up for it the next day. And explains the Chafetz Chaim, because yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. If I lose out on my mission for today, then it's gone. Come tomorrow is a whole new level of a mission. And that's how he explains the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Im lo achshav, im asai. If I don't do it now, then when can I do it? Not as it's simply explain on a push-up shot level, well, I have an opportunity, and I lost my opportunity, okay, hopefully I can make up for it later. But no, im lo achshav, if I don't see now as being something that Hashem wants from me, then emasai, I lose out on the opportunity, because right now, Hashem wants something from me. He gave me this day specifically for a purpose, and that's how I have to view it, as if there's something today that I must accomplish. I cannot view it and say, well, I'll worry about that later. I'll take care of that another time. Because in Lo Achshav, if I don't do it today, then Emasai. Then when I get to later, that's a new mission Hashem has set out for me. Rei Anochi Nosein Lifneichem Hayom. It's today Hashem is giving us the specific challenges. The Chasam Sofer explains the Pasuk, Ve'atem Hadvekim Ba'Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulchem Hayom. And again, on a push-up shot level, we are clinging to Hashem and we are alive today. Says the Chasam Sofer, if you want to know when you're really Atem Hadvekim Ba'Hashem Elokeichem, when are you really clinging to Hashem? When? Chayim Kulchem, when you put your entire life, Hayom, into this day. That's how to truly cling to Hashem. When you put your Chayim Kulchem, all of your strength, all of your efforts, into today. That's when we are truly Atem Hadvekim Ba'Hashem Elokeichem. And of course, there are some days that are going to be different than others. Some days, like a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the mission, the bracha and the klala on those days is on a very different level than a random Wednesday in the end of August. But still, we have to understand that this random Wednesday in the middle of August, that has a mission also, and there's something I must be accomplishing. Sometimes even, the accomplishments are to take a break, to relax and to rest. But to rest and relax with a sense of purpose, with an understanding that says, I'm going to do this even l'shem shamayim, because this may be my mission for today, and that's fine. I understand that. But there has to be a view and a perspective that says, there is a mission for today, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this day, and there must be something that Hashem wants me to accomplish. So Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach, we should be able to see the mission in every single day. When we wake up in the morning and we look forward to a beautiful day, we should understand that Hashem has something in mind for me today, and we should be able to accomplish it by the end of the day. Thank you, and have a wonderful Shabbos.
Hi, my name is Ari Sendek, and it's my pleasure to share with you a Devar Torah and Parshas Re'eh. In Perek Yud Gimel, we have the halachos of a maces, someone who tries to get another Jew to do Avodah Zarah. Nilcha v'navda lohim achirim, he says, let's go and serve other gods. In Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Tes, besides for giving us the important instructions of not listening to the guy, lo sovel lo v'lo sishma elav, the Torah also gives us rules of how this person is to be judged. Your eye shall not take pity on him, you shall not be compassionate, nor conceal him. We learn from here many halachos that normally apply to Beis Din in judging a capital case do not apply to a maces. First of all, Beis Din normally can be towing, can advance claims on behalf of the person on trial, but the Gemara says in Chavtes Amar Aleph in Sanhedrin, Ein Toanin Lemesis. Beis Din will not advance a claim on behalf of the Mesis. As the Pasuk says, Lo Sachmov Lo Sachase Olav. Also, on Daf Lamed Gimel in Sanhedrin, the rule normally is that if someone leaves Beis Din after being found guilty, and even one person says, I have a claim of Zichus that can acquit him, we bring the guy back to court. And if a person leaves Beis Din acquitted, and one person says, "Oh, yesh lamer lav chova, I can testify to his guilt," we do not bring the guy back to court. As the pasuk says, "V'naki v'tzadik al tarug," we do not want to kill someone who is either found to be clean or righteous. Amar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, v'chilufa lemesis. The opposite applies to a mesis, that we will bring him back to court to find him guilty, but we will not bring him back to court to acquit him. There are certain people who are disqualified from being judges of a capital case because they may not be rachmanim, they may not be merciful, they're cruel. Those people are allowed to be judges when it comes to a mesis. Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rosh Yeshiva Vishira Torah V'Das in New York, made the following observation. What happened here? Someone tried to get someone else to do Avodah Zarah, tried to get someone else to do an Averet. And did he succeed? No, he failed. He failed miserably. He was brought to court, found guilty, and as the Pasuk says, the guy who he tried to seduce is the one who's supposed to put him to death. And yet, for trying and failing, look at the punishment that he receives. No mercy at all. Rav Pam said, if that's the punishment for someone who tries to get someone to stray from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fails, imagine the great reward in store for someone who tries to bring someone closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and completely fails. How great is his reward? Not even to bring up someone who succeeds even a little bit in bringing someone closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In terms of that, Rav Pam gave a different mashal of Rachman Litzan, a family that has a missing child. And they're just waiting for that phone call or that knock on the door of some kind of hint, some kind of sign that their son is still okay. And then after days, finally there's a knock at the door. I saw your son. He's alive. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels when we succeed even a little bit in bringing someone closer to him. But we should learn from this idea of Mesis, the responsibility that we have for a fellow Jew, and how worthwhile it is to try. Because again, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of tova, his midah of rewarding us, is 400 times greater than his midah of punishment. So if the punishment for trying and failing to bring someone away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so severe, how much more so the reward must be great for trying and failing to bring someone closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May we all be attuned to the needs of the people around us and try and even succeed to bring each other closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Hello, my name is Noah Baron, and I would like to share with you a Dvar Torah from Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh has a lot of mitzvos. It has 17 mitzvos aseh and 38 mitzvos lois aseh. So one of the lois aseh, the first one that comes up, is not to erase Hashem's name or to destroy a building that is used for worship, a holy building, a shul, a base of mikdash, to take out a stone. And more commonly, people know about the Isser of erasing Hashem's name. The Minchas Chinuch points out that if you erase one letter, you're over the Isser, but if you erase part of a letter, but only a small part, and it can still be read easily as Hashem's name, then there would be no Isser. If you erase a good chunk of the letter, and it can only be read as a proper Hashem's name, then you would be over the Isser. Now he says, let's say you want to destroy something in order to rebuild it. For example, you're going to take out a wall, I don't know, of the shul in order to make it bigger. So then, really, there's no Isser, and the same thing would apply by Hashem's name. There'll be no Isser to erase part of it in order to make it better, whatever that means. But, l'chachil, you shouldn't really be doing it unless you have no other option. Also, let's say you have Hashem's name, and you change it. You don't erase any part of it, but you change it, and it can no longer be read as Hashem's name. For example, let's say you have the Aleph Lamed, Kel, but then you put a Patach under the Aleph. You put a line, horizontal line, under the Aleph, and now it's read as Al. So in essence, you erase Hashem's name. Also, for example, let's say you have Hashem's name, and you add a letter, and now it no longer looks like Hashem's name. So that will be an Isser. He only has a suffix whether you get Malkus, maybe, because since you didn't affect the goof of the name, the actual letters of the name, you didn't affect that. So maybe there's no Malkus, but he says for sure it's Usser, and maybe even Malkus. So the Michas Chinuch raises, how do you write Yud-Kei Vav-Kei? If you write Yud-Kei, that's already Hashem's name. Yud-Kei is one of Hashem's names. Then when you add the letter Vav, Yud-Hei Vav is not Hashem's name, you would, in essence, have erased Hashem's name. Even though at the end of the day, when you add the last Hei, you'll be back to Hashem's name, but in the interim, when you wrote that letter Vav, you're over the Isser. Now, it's true that it's Mechiko Amanas Letakin. You're erasing in order to fix it, in order to make it a bigger name. So, although there's no Isser involved, but if you could do it in any other way, you should. Why should it be over this Isser if there's another way? So what would the other possible way be? So he says, why don't you write Hey Vav Hey? First write Hey Vav Hey, then add a Yud in the beginning. That way you never had Yud Kei and then erase it. Rather, you start with Hey Vav Hey and then add a Yud. So he says, Elamai, what do we see? The fact that no one says to do that, and you just write it normally, Yud Kei Vav Kei, it must be that that's not an option. Why? Because it's out of order. It must be that if you write it out of order, it doesn't work. You have to write the letters in order. And that's why you have no choice, and you have to write Yud-Kei and then Vav-Kei. Now, he points out that there is a Mishnah in Yuma about a certain family who knew how to write a four-letter word at the same time. They would put four pens between their fingers, and with those four pens, they would be able to write four letters at the same time. The name of the family was Ben Kamsar. And the Chachamim were upset that they didn't tell anyone else their secret. They kept it to themselves and didn't tell anybody else. So the Michas Chinuch asks, who cares if you can write four letters at the same time? Why was it such a big deal that they're not telling people? It's not, why do we need to have the ability to write four letters at the same time? He answers that because if you could write four letters at the same time, then you have an Eitzah, you have a great idea that you can write Yud-Kei Vav-Kei without resorting to having Yud-Kei and then writing a Vav, which in essence erases the name. You could write the four letters at the same time, and that would not be a problem. And it's not considered out of order, because out of order means you write one of the latter letters first. But if you write them at the same time, it's not considered a problem of out of order. And that would also solve the problem of writing Yud-Kei and then erasing it by writing letter Vav. And that's why they were upset that they wouldn't tell us the secret. But since L'maisa, we do not know the secret, therefore, we don't have a choice. We have to write Yud-Kei and the Vav-Kei, even though you are erasing Hashem's name, but since there's no choice and you're just doing it in order to write a bigger name, it would not be a problem. As food for thought, One thing that could come up very halach l'maisa is, let's say you have Hashem's name on a computer, can you erase it? Can you type the backspace and erase Hashem's name if it's on a computer? I don't exactly know the answer, but that is food for thought. Have a great Shabbos.
This is Ari Tennant. This week's parsha, Perek Yud Daled, Pasuk Aleph. The pasuk says, "Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, lo sisgodu, v'lo sasimu karcha bein einechem l'meis." You are children of Hashem, your God. You shall not cut yourself, and you shall not make a bald spot out of mourning for someone that passed away. Ki am kadosh atol l'Hashem Elokecha. You are an am kadosh to Hashem, your God. And Hashem chose you, the Jews, to be His beloved nation, more so than any other nation that is on earth. So there are a couple questions from this pasuk. First of all, why does the Torah go out of its way to tell us that you are banim to Hashem? We're already in Sefer Devarim and Parshas Re'eh. Why is the Torah B'davka pointing this out over here? Second of all, why does the pasuk continue to say, Ki am kadosh ata? We just said that you are banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, and therefore you shall not cut yourself or make a bald spot out of mourning. Why does the Torah have to continue and give another reason? Ki, meaning because. Ki means because. Am kadosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha. We just said that the reason one should not mourn this way is because he is a ben Hashem. He is one of the banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. So there are a few different answers to this question. Rashi says that the reason the Torah says that you are banim to Hashem by this iser is because the Torah is trying to tell us that one is supposed to be roi lihios noim. He is supposed to be conducting himself with a certain appearance, a certain sense of dignity and respect. It could be this is why in poskim they say one shouldn't have stains in a shirt. He shouldn't daven with holes in a shirt, for example. Now the reason the Torah continues and says ki am kadosh is because the Kedusha that one is supposed to conduct himself with does not come from himself, as it were, says Rashi. It comes from Hashem directly. As a reminder that it's from your Av, from your father, that you are representing him. And it's not for your own purposes, for your own dignity, so you can necessarily feel haughty about yourself. But as a representative of Hashem in his army and his team, one should conduct himself with a certain sense of dignity, dressed in a certain sense of respect. The Ramban asks Kashas on Rashi. According to Rashi, if the whole point of the Torah telling us that you are children of Hashem is in order to conduct himself as someone who represents Hashem, then this really has nothing to do with mourning whatsoever. The Torah is explicitly warning us not to conduct himself in a way of mourning like a goy does, not to cut himself, not to make himself bald. But according to Rashi, this should apply all the time. One is always a messenger of Hashem, should always conduct himself that way. So for this reason, the Ramban gives a different teretz. The Ramban says that the Torah is warning us not to overdo avelus. He says that it is accepted and natural to cry in mourning, but to overdo it and to say that one should cut himself, should actually afflict himself in a sense, is too much. And that is also why the Torah says, Ki am kadosh ata. You are an am kadosh. There is a future over here. There is an olam haba that is coming, albeit that we are sad in the moment. But ultimately, in the long term, we are assured, we are comforted that there is a future beyond this. So the Torah is telling us to act in a sense that is normal, that is expected, to cry, to be sad that we have lost someone in this world. But the truth is, this is all just temporary. Ultimately, we do have a chilek in the next world. Now, all that being said, one should not go to, for example, making a shiva call and tell the mourners that, you know, there is an olam haba and there is a continuation. The Gemara in Brachos warns sharply against that. That is a foolish thing to do. That is not our job. That is something for a mourner within himself to recognize and to appreciate. But for someone who is making a shiva call to his Menachem Avil to actually point that out as some sort of consolation for the mourner is inappropriate. Instead, one is supposed to be quiet, supposed to simply spend time with the mourner. But one should not try to minimize the sense of loss, to minimize the sense of mourning. That is accepted and normal. But in the broad picture, the mourner himself should feel consoled that there is an olam ha'emes that we believe in, that Masha Enkein, the goyim do not believe in. The goyim believe that this is it. The world is over now. There is no more besides this world. But we should not be that depressed. We should be sad in a normal sense that we will no longer be able to spend time with whoever is lost. But we should not overdo the mourning. Now, in the same sense, the Aruch Chaim also says that we should not overdo the mourning. He asks the same question. He wants to know, why is the Torah putting next to this Isser over here, not to cut oneself, that we are the children of Hashem? It seems to be superfluous. So he tells him, Mashal, let's say a father sent his son off to do business in another city or another country where he's not going to see him for a long time. Now, sometimes the father will send his son provisions, he'll send him money, and I'll send him food to be able to maintain his livelihood while he's making a parnasa for the family. So if that's the case, ultimately what they really want is for the son to come back to the father where he will be able to gain that sustenance and have that sustenance from his father and not have to be in the business world, wherever else he is, traveling, wandering, waiting to come back to the real place where he belongs, his home. So the same idea is what's going on over here. The Torah is telling us, you are the son of Hashem. You are traveling. You are in a corridor right now. The Mesillas Sharim says that this whole world is just a prozdor. It's just a corridor. But ultimately, there is a light at the end of that tunnel, the Olam Emes. The purpose of this world is to build one's Olam Abba, to build the next world. The next world will only be as good as we make it here by doing mitzvos, by learning, by focusing on the Ratzon Hashem, by doing what Hashem wants us to do. But to pretend like this world is the ultimate, that there's nothing beyond what we see over here, up to the point that one should cut himself, that's a mistake. Ki am kadosh atah l'shem adokecha. You are an am kadosh. There is more than what meets the eye over here. But for somebody that doesn't see anything beyond this world, the Torah understands that makes sense. There's nothing else that's over. There is nothing beyond what we see. And that is what we strive not to do. We mourn in a limited sense. We mourn what is necessary, what is appropriate. But to literally cut oneself and hurt oneself, that is not for a Jew to do. If one does that, he's missing the whole point. He is acting as if this world is the ultimate. The means and the ends are completely mixed up. That this is just the ends. This is not just a means to building, you know, about to building the next world. I'm Ari Tennant. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Feel free to learn about all the programs that the Skokie Community Kol has to offer. For any questions, suggestions, or to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, please email us at info@skokiekolo.org.